Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Jim Cruz.
And we want to get into God's Word. I want you to go to the book of Romans chapter 12. The book of Romans chapter 12, we're going to be camped out on a verse, but I'm going to be going over several verses, and I'm going to have you write some notes out this morning and kind of follow along with where we're going this morning, because we're going somewhere this morning. Turn to your neighbor and say, we're getting there today. We're getting there today. Okay, that's important for you to know. So let me pray this, and we'll get into God's Word this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that every week when we come together as a church family, you show up in a powerful way. And I pray that you would do just that this morning, that you would speak to our hearts, change us, and allow us to become the people you desire us to be. And we thank you in advance for how you're going to do that. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Okay, so if you were born before 1990, you're probably not familiar with this, but when we used to have to, you know, plan to get somewhere, we didn't have Google Maps. We had to go to the gas station and buy this really awkward piece of paper called a folding map, and we would take it out and we would try to figure out where we were and how to get there, and then we would try to, you know, fold it back up and put it away. How many remember those? Long gone are those days, praise the Lord. Now we have Google Maps, and now if we need to get somewhere, it's pretty easy to figure out how to get there. And you know, if you just go on the computer, Google Map it, you'll get a map like this. And what you do is you put in the place where you're at, the place you want to go. And just for the sake of illustration, I put it in our church address, Valley Bible Fellowship, and then I put in the happiest place on earth. Disneyland. Okay, so I put Disneyland down there, and so it's really cool. The technology, it just kind of maps you out, and it gives you even different options on how to get there. And this blue line represents the best way, the most recommended way for you to go from here to there, and it takes you 2 hours, 10 minutes, yeah, right, and 139 miles. So if you're looking at, like, trying to figure out how to get to Disneyland, it's pretty easy nowadays, and you could print that, and now we have our phones, and we can kind of navigate through there, and I like this idea because it's a lot like life, and you know, we're still in January, we're still in a month that represents kind of a newness about our life. Some of you made the New Year's resolutions, and you've already blown it, you've already given up, and waiting till next January, and I get that, but I think that desire to change the way we're living and to actually be a different kind of a person, I believe that is God-given. That desire is a God-given desire because He wants your life to mean something. He's put a desire in you to be the person He has called you to be and He's designed you to be. And I believe it's very much like this Google map that I just showed you. That God wants to take you to a destination, but in order to take you to that destination, there's three parts that you need to understand in order to get to there, where there is. Number one, you got to figure out where you're at right now. Number two, you got to figure out where is there. And number three, you got to figure out the route to get from where you're at now, from here, to where you're going, which is there. So it's very similar. Years ago, when I was a part of our college ministry, I wasn't on staff. We were part of our college leadership team. Pastor Ron was our leader, and he planned this conference for all of us to go to, and he and Debbie went ahead of us, and it was down in LA, and they were like, you know, we'll meet up with you at the hotel. And so me and a bunch of the other college kids, we were like, okay, we'll go down there to LA. And I was 19. I'd probably driven myself down to LA maybe one other time. So we were excited. So we got in the car and we were like, okay, we're going to meet Pastor Ron at the hotel. And it was off 4th Street. That's all I knew. So we're getting in the car. We're getting excited. Okay, we're going to 4th Street. And we kind of figured out, okay, you know, let's follow the signs on the freeway. And we saw the sign on the freeway. It said 4th Street. So we get off. We're like, hey, this is the street. And we start driving down 4th Street and there is no hotel. Matter of fact, there were bars on the windows. There sketchy people hanging out at all the intersections, and I'm driving and I'm going, I don't know if we're where we need to be at. And so, you know, this is before cell phones. So we had to find a payphone booth, and we find one, and we pull over, and there's people all around, and it's a real, real sketchy thing. It's dark. It's nighttime. So we get out of the car. We're all, like, going to the phone together, right? And we go to the phone, and it's cut in half. A half of a phone. I'm like, we need to pray, but first let's get in our car, lock the doors, and pray, figure out what to do next. And so we prayed. We find another phone close by that's actually, you know, a whole phone and it works. And so we get a hold of Pastor Ron and we call him at the hotel. He's like, okay, now where are you guys? And we're like, well, we're on 4th Street. We're looking for a hotel. We cannot find a hotel. The address doesn't seem to match. There is no hotel. He's like, okay, you're on 4th Street? Yeah. Well, describe to me like the neighborhood. I'm like, well, there's bars in all the windows, and there's people hanging out on every intersection. He says, Jim, the conference is in Santa Ana. You're in South Central LA. And it was that moment I figured out there's a big difference between South Central LA and Orange County. And they both have 4th Street. So, you know, he guided us through. He figured out where we were, and then he guided us to where we needed to be. And that was a big life lesson for me, because I understood a principle that day that I believe applies to everybody in life. If you really want to experience a life change for your life, you've got to follow these three principles. You got to figure out where you're at, where you're going, and how to get there. And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. I want to just walk you through these three principles real quickly. Number one is identifying this first item, and that is where you're at. I mean, we've all been to the mall, and we're trying to figure out, you know, where the Starbucks is in the mall, and we look at that mall map, and it says, you are here. So the first thing we need to talk about this morning, if you want to make a life change that lasts and is not like a New Year's resolution, you've got to understand where is your current address at right now. Like, in other words, if your life was a mall map, where would the you are here button be at for your life? Paul says it this way, and I like how the message reads it, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. It says, test yourselves to make sure you are solid in the faith. Don't drift along taking everything for granted. Give yourselves regular checkups. In other words, what this scripture is telling us is that it's good to examine our lives, to figure out where we're living at these days. What's our spiritual condition? You know, a lot of us would say, well, I'm a Christian. What does that mean necessarily for you right now, where you're at in life? In other words, if I were to kind of give you a test right now and say, all right, we're going to map you out on how you're doing with your relationship with God, and we're going to give a number associated with how you're doing. Okay, let's say 0 is like you have no relationship with God whatsoever. I mean, you're just like barely hanging on to life. And then 10 is like, wow, super spiritual. I mean, you're seeing God do healings through your life. You're leading people to Christ. I mean, you're just seeing God manifest daily in your life. That would be like a 10. So what I want you to do just right now, just play this game with me. Give your life a number. Where do you think you're at with God today? Like, if you were to give yourself a number. And then what I want to do is to kind of help you with determining that number and understanding that Paul here, he's saying continue to give yourselves regular checkups. In other words, don't just do this once a year. Like, really, honestly, this should be like a daily exercise for all of us, where we're waking up going, okay, God, check my heart, see how I'm doing, because God, I need to figure out where I'm at here so I know how to grow from this point forward. So I like to test myself in two distinct areas, and I think these are going to be helpful for you to help you know, kind of detect where you're at spiritually, to kind of give yourself the right kind of number. Number one is, how am I doing handling life's disappointments? And here's the reality check for all of us. We all have them. We all have a life disappointment. We all have one coming, maybe if we haven't experienced one lately. Just it happens. We have these expectations, maybe in our marriage, maybe in a relationship, maybe in our careers, maybe in our money. I mean, we have life disappointments that happen to us. A doctor says, hey, you're sick and this isn't going right for you, or your relative is not doing well. And so this life disappointment is handed to us. And then we have a response to that life disappointment. And your response to that life disappointment is an indicator on how you're doing spiritually in your relationship with God. A spiritually immature person is going to whine, become angry. God, how dare you, you know, mess with my life like this. They're going to react in a real negative way. They're going to erupt, probably is a better way of describing it. Versus somebody probably on the spiritual mature side is going to take it, put it into prayer, and say, God, I don't know why this is happening, but I believe that God, no matter what comes my way, that God, you are going to produce something good out of this situation. I don't know what it is yet, but I trust you, and I'm going to hang on until we get to that Romans 8:28 promise that good will come out of the situation, because that is your promise for my life. Now, that is spiritual. That's spiritual maturity. So now you're going, okay, you know, I've said this before, church, but Christianity is shown more in your reactions than it's shown in your actions, really. How have you been reacting lately to life's disappointments? The second thing is, and this is for my own life, is two of Jesus' biggest virtues when he was here in his earthly ministry was compassion and forgiveness. So I really like to look at my life in the sense of, how am I doing with those big virtues of compassion and forgiveness? Because here's the reality. We all are dealing with people all the time, whether it's within our own family, within, you know, our work environment, or even just like living in our neighborhood, going to the grocery store, going to the doctor's office, whatever. I mean, we're dealing with people all the time. And so what we can do is look at these two big virtues and say, how am I doing in these virtues with the people God has brought into my life? Because I believe every week that we live our lives, we are going to be tested with these two things. People are going to come along our life and they're going to hurt us. They're going to injure us. They're going to make us mad. They're going to do things against our life. And it's going to be their fault. It's not going to be our fault. But we have a decision to make at that point. Do we align ourselves up with what God says that we should do? Or do we align ourselves up with what the world says we should do? Jesus says, forgive them. The world says, get even with them. Right? So who are we aligning ourselves more up with, Jesus or the rest of the world? And then it comes to those people come along our way. They're sad. They're in a bad situation. And they come in our kind of like circle of influence. And we have a decision to make. How are we going to help them? And how are we going to show compassion to them in this issue that they're going through? And this happens to me all the time. I was a week ago, was at the Walmart parking lot over there off Rosedale Highway, right here in Bakersfield. And a gentleman comes up to me, very, very sad looking guy. And he says, hey, I'm just looking to get a meal. Can you spare some money that I can go feed my family? We're in our car right now. I go, your whole family's in the car? He says, yeah. Real pathetic, you know, looking guy. And at that moment, the Holy Spirit says, go feed that guy. So I ran over there, one of those fast food places, and I said, how many are there? And he goes, there's four of us. So I get them all like combo meals, and you know, I'm sitting there with them, and we're putting the drinks in the cups, and I get it all ready to go. And I go, well, let me take it out to the car for you. And we go out to the car, and I see his family there, and they're all living in their car. And I'm like, hey, I just wanted to bless you guys, because I believe God has blessed me so that I can be a blessing for you. And let me pray over this food, but let me pray more importantly over you guys and what's going on. And I'm praying for them. The Lord says, give them $20. And I don't normally give cash out to people like that. I don't think that's a good practice to do all the time unless the Holy Spirit like whispers that to you. And so I said, I'm going to give them $20. And $20, I mean, you know, it's a big deal, but it's not a big deal, you know. And so I give them $20. And I tell them, I just really feel like the Holy Spirit's telling me to give you this money right now. And the tears just start coming down. And I look in the car and they're all kind of busted up and they're crying. I'm like, this is 20 bucks. And I said, God is moving right now. And so I got to minister to him and I said, you guys need to be a part of a church. And he goes, what church? I go, Valley Bible Fellowship. He goes, oh, Pastor Ron Vietti. I go, yeah, I used to go there a long time ago. We moved to the Bay Area. I just got off track. I go, I hear you. But I said, just as easy as it is to get off track, it's easy to get back on track, bro. So get back on track. And he goes, I'm going to. I go, by the way, he's my father-in-law. And he just hugged me. And it was just a cool moment. But I don't say that to like, oh, you're such a good pastor. That's not why I'm saying this. But we are going to be tested in the area of compassion weekly. And it is an indicator in how you're doing spiritually. The more spiritually mature you are, the more compassion you're going to be given to the people that are coming in your circle of influence. Just, it's going to be natural because that's natural for Jesus. And the closer you are to God, the more like Jesus you're going to become. Are you following me? It's an indicator. Where are you at? What is the address that you're at spiritually? You've got to know that in order for you to get to there where there is at. And where is there? Let's talk about that. Okay, so we filled in the coordinates where we're starting from. Let's put in the coordinates of where we're going. Because I believe wholeheartedly that God has a destiny, a purpose, a vision for each and every human being that was put here on earth. You are not an accident, my friend. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are not an accident. Just let them know that. They may be confused. And a big reason why I feel this way is a scripture found in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Write that down. We're not to Romans yet, but this is a good one too. For we are God's what, church? Masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. In other words, I firmly believe, according to scripture, that God was knitting us together in our mother's womb, as it says in Jeremiah. And that as he was knitting you together, he was envisioning the amazing things he desired to do with your life and through your life. Man, he's sitting there, he's looking at your life. Oh man, I can't wait to see what John gets to do while he's here on this earth. I can't wait to see what Cindy gets to do when she comes to earth. Wow, it's going to be amazing. Like God had this dream when he's creating you of the good things he's planned for you to do long ago. I mean, God is in heaven getting excited on creating your life. And that destiny, that purpose, that vision, it's true. And you cannot be disqualified from it. I don't care what you've done. I look at the Bible characters of old, and I don't know about you, but I know the Bible is real because the Bible includes the good, the bad, and the ugly part of their life stories, including Noah. You read all of Noah's life, there's like some really good parts, and then God decided to leave some really weird parts in there too. Why? Because God wants to go out of his way to show you he doesn't use perfect people. He uses people that are available. That's who he uses. And he goes out of his way. He uses Abraham, uses Moses, uses Joshua, uses Esther, uses David, uses Solomon, uses Mary, uses Paul to do amazing things for his kingdom, to bring his kingdom from heaven down to earth. Remember, that's Jesus's prayer. God, let heaven, your will be done in heaven, down here on earth. That's what he's praying. He's saying, God, there's a will in heaven that is dreamed up, that you have in store for this world. And God, I'm praying that you make it a reality here on earth. How is God going to make what's in heaven a reality on earth? Through us, his created beings. That's how he accomplishes it. So you can be a conduit of heaven to bring heaven down to earth by fulfilling the vision, the dream, the purpose, the destiny that God has for your life. That's how you do it. And he's got a dream for each and every one of us. It's different. There's different things he hopes to accomplish through all of us. But I've got to tell you that you know the desire that God wants to do in your life by really two factors. Number one, it promotes the gospel. It's spreading God's love in some way. So if there's a desire in you to spread God's love some way, the chances are God's dream is somewhere in that. And the second part of that is there's something inside of you, you can't get away from it. It just keeps bothering you. It keeps, you know, shaking you up and like, man, you know, I keep hearing it in sermons. I keep reading about it in books. I keep seeing it on television and it's just there and it's always there. And chances are, if you can't shake a thought, if you can't shake some kind of a thing that you're supposed to do, chances are God is involved with that and he's pointing you a direction. So here's the question. Here's a question for where you're headed. If God had his way, his full way with your life, there was no obstruction, there was nothing keeping him from having his full way with you, where is it that you think you would end up in this life? What do you think you would end up doing? Now, let me just pause and say, not everyone's called to be a pastor. Not everyone's called to be on staff at a church. But I do believe everybody is called to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, each and every one of us. And it could be done through your doctor's office. It could be done through your lawyer's office. It could be done through your political position. I mean, God is going to raise up people within these fields of business to bring his kingdom from heaven down to earth. It's important for us to understand that. So what is it that God would do through your life if he had an unobstructed way in your life? That's a question you have to ask yourself, which if I can put the map back up, okay? And I'm going real quickly. If you want to like really get to the nitty gritty, in Vegas, we did like a 3-week series on this. So I'm like giving you the highlight of like 3 weeks worth of messages in one sermon. So you can go back to our Vegas website or our podcast or VBF Vegas on podcast and you can listen to these messages. But what I want to establish is we've said, okay, this is where we're at. This is where God has taken us. And notice that blue line is not just a straight line. There's some curves there. There's some little passes involved in that. Now, I believe the route and how to go from here to there is the most important step in the journey. Because it seems as though, as easy as it looks like to get to there, there's all kinds of obstacles wanting to pull us off the highway that want to detour us, that want to knock us off, that want to pull us off the off-ramp. And in order to get to there, you've got to stay on the highway. You can't take the off-ramp. You can't be swayed to get off the course, right? In the famous words of those famous philosophers, Rascal Flatts, life is a highway. And if you want to get to there, you're going to have to ride it all night long, right? That's how it works. You cannot be diverted and still get to there. And believe me, in this world, there are all kinds of diversions that are set up to get you off the highway. What are some of them? Well, the common ones that I hear all the time in counseling and prayer, marriages. Man, marriages, they can make you or break you, right? So you single people, hey, be wise in the person that you choose to marry, all right? Take some time. This is a word for somebody. You've been dating for a month and you're like, I want to marry him. Just time out, all right? You've known them a month. Wait at least 6 months. Kind of look at their life a little bit. See where they're at with God. Because those are all going to be front and center after being married to them for 6 months. Take some time, get to know them, figure out where they're at, because I'm telling you, the marriage that you have can be a big diversion to get to from getting you to where God wants you to go. Other relationships, doesn't have to be a marriage, it could be, you know, all kinds of other difficult relationships in your life. It could be your money situation, it could be an addiction. There's all kinds of things that want to just kind of divert us off the highway that God ultimately wants us to get to. And the thing that I believe, if you want to get to there, the most important thing that you can focus on and concentrate on is your thought life. Your thought life is actually going to be the key to a transformed life in Christ, Romans chapter 12. I had you turn there. Let's go to verse 2. Verse 2. This is what it says. If you have a Bible open, underline this, circle this, go back to it, highlight it later. This could be the most important verse of your whole entire spiritual journey with God. Because this verse alone will keep you on the highway more than any other verse in Scripture. Okay, it says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. That word in the Greek is metamorphosis. This is where we get our example of a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. It's like there's a whole change in the structure of who you are. So Paul's saying there's a whole change in the structure of who you are as a person. How? How do you get this change? He says, by the renewing of your mind. That's how you get it. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, where there is his good and pleasing and perfect will. So in other words, Paul's saying to get to there, you have to figure out how to renew your mind. Now, Paul goes on later in the book of Philippians. He says, hey, really, honestly, if you want to get to there, you've got to choose to dwell on the right thoughts. Because here's the reality about life. You know, everything tries to come along the highway and divert us off the highway. And most of the time, they're crazy, weird thoughts. And you can't stop all the thoughts from just crossing your brain. You're going to have weird thoughts, you know, simply there because you ate too many Taco Supremes that week, all right? So it's just going to happen. You're just going to like, well, that was a weird thought. But that's not what Paul's talking about here. He's saying, the thoughts that you choose to dwell on, the thoughts that you kind of like, oh, I'm just going to take that thought. Oh, I'm going to dwell on this. Ooh, that's a good thought. And well, it's good, but it's not good. And ooh, he says that is what will derail you and get you off the highway. Those thoughts. He says, so because of that, choose wisely. Think about what is pure, what is holy, what is true, what is praiseworthy. He goes, choose to intentionally think about these right kind of thoughts. And there's a difference between a random thought crossing your head and dwelling on thought. Martin Luther, the old theologian, said this. He says about your thought life. He says, you can't keep a bird from flying around your head, but you can certainly keep him from building a nest in your hair. And that's kind of like a thought, right? You can't keep it from just flying around your head, but you can certainly keep yourself from dwelling on a thought that you know is there to completely divert you off the highway. That's what I'm talking about here, church. Why? Because thoughts start giving you desires. Thoughts start coming, you're like, oh, I kind of have a desire for that now, right? Desires lead to actions. Now you're moving on those desires, right? You're fulfilling those. You're doing things. And see, actions lead to habits. And now you're in habits here that maybe aren't necessarily good. And then habits lead to character. And it's your character that will always determine your destiny. Okay, so let's go backwards. Destiny, character, character, habits, habits, actions, actions, desires, desires, thoughts. Are you following me? Are you seeing how powerful your thought life is as far as you getting to where God wants you to end up with your life? Huge. This is huge, my friend. Because everything in this world has a rhythm to it, and the rhythm of this world is to pull you out away from God's highway for getting you where he wants you to be at. So to live godly in an ungodly world is kind of like being in the ocean and dealing with rip currents. Have you ever been in Pismo Beach, just wading in the water, like playing with your family, and then pretty soon an hour goes by, and you're like, why did our family move way down there, man? Like, they were right here. It's a rip current. And you started right there like a foot off of the beach, and you're wading in a foot of water. And now you're like, why? Like, how did I end up this deep? It's rip currents. And see, it says, don't be conformed to the patterns or the rhythm or the current of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. There's some of you, it's a daily battle, these rip currents that are happening, and they're there to pull you out to sea So not only do you not get to there, but you drown in the process. I saw a video last summer of a family that was vacationing off the East Coast and this little island off of Boston called Nantucket, and they got caught in rip current and it became dangerous really quick. And I can't think of a better analogy about this third principle about the route to get you to there that you can kind of get into your mind what I'm talking about. Go ahead and watch this video.
You're about to find out what it's like to get caught up in a rip current. For one father and daughter, a happy beach day instantly turned treacherous. But an unlikely tool helped save the day. Tonight, their strange survival story and what you need to know if it happens to you. ABC's chief meteorologist Ginger Z surrendered herself to the surf.
A Nantucket summer vacation in the water turns from fun to fearful in mere seconds. Derek Johns and his 16-year-old daughter, Erin Johns, seen here holding a selfie stick with a GoPro camera. They're suddenly pulled in and quickly overcome by a powerful rip current.
I said to Erin, start swimming, and then we really felt the current, and at that point...
That's when I was like, I just can't, and he grabbed me by the GoPro stick and started dragging me in. At that point, I was totally lost. I just turned around and we were so far from the shore. And I looked at my dad and I was like, I don't know what to do. And he just told me I needed to swim. And I used all my energy and I could not swim against that current.
The force dragging them underwater and away from shore. Erin still holding that selfie stick with the camera still rolling.
I was actually using it as balance. I guess it was the longest thing, and I was the farthest out to begin with, so I was trying to throw it to my dad so that he could grab me and pull me in. And the wristband did save my life. Without the wristband, I wouldn't have been able to kind of throw the stick to my dad.
Come on!
Other beachgoers racing to their aid. Erin's mother rushing to her from the shore, actually grabbing that same selfie stick and using it to pull her daughter back toward rescuers. Derek, a former Marine, seen here being pulled to safety by this mysterious hero in the orange bathing suit, then collapsing from exhaustion before nearby lifeguards took over.
I was pretty much tapped physically. I really had maybe 20 or 30 seconds left, and no one was around me, and I went under twice, and I was a noodle. I had no energy or life left in me at that point.
Rip currents are one of the ocean's deadliest killers, accounting for 80% of ocean rescues every year. In fact, nearly 100 people drown in the U.S. every year as a result of rip currents. They can form when water piles up close to shore, held back from escaping by an underwater sandbar. But then, when a break in the sandbar occurs, the fast-moving river of water rushes back out to sea, carrying along anyone caught in its current.
It's kind of like a river pulling out to sea.
The strongest swimmer does not match up to the power of the ocean.
A selfie stick was used to rescue this girl that would have drowned. She was out there. She had no energy left. And the dad just said, just grab on, hun. And he used that to try to pull her back in. And I think all of us, we whether we want to admit it or not, we all get caught up in that. And we get kind of tired sometimes. And we're just like, man, I don't have any energy left. But here's the cool thing, that you don't have to have the energy, because we have a Savior that has stretched out his life and said, just grab onto me and I'm going to pull you back. Look with me. 2 Peter. Look at this scripture. It says, by his divine power, by your power? No, by his power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. So the question then becomes, what is it that God is going to use to help your thought life, to keep your thoughts from getting pulled out to sea? And I believe there's two aspects of it. There's the individual aspect, and then there's the communal aspect. The individual aspect of this is just keeping your mind on the presence of God. Brother Lawrence wrote this book in the 18th century called Practicing the Presence of God. And he said, I want you guys to try as easy as it sounds, to every minute of your day to try to have a thought about God. And it's more difficult than it sounds. Every minute of every hour to end somewhere in those 60 seconds to have a thought about God. Because here's the reality for most of us. We're not doing that. Matter of fact, we're not doing that like maybe thinking about God every hour. Sometimes, if we're really honest, there's days that go by where we're not thinking about God. It's easy in this rip current to be caught up and to live as though we don't believe in God, even though we do. And so it's like, how do you set your life up where you're making yourself remember God? And that's where devotions come in. This is where waking up early, putting on worship music, opening your Bible, getting into a prayer, and just writing down in a journal like, okay, God, what do you want to say to me today? And believing that every day when you open that Bible, when you set some time aside, that God that created the heavens and the earth is going to come down in your living room, in your bedroom, wherever you meet, in your car, and he's going to talk to you because he loves you. And the more you're doing that, the more you're reminding your head to be thinking about God. The more you're thinking about God, the more you are getting to the destination that God has for your life. Are you following me? Here's the second part, is the communal aspect. And this is huge. That God has never intended your relationship with him to be done by yourself. I've told you guys this before. You watch the nature shows. It's always the zebra by itself that gets eaten. Why do I have to argue with people out there? I don't need church to be a Christian. Yeah. Yeah, I watch the nature channels. I know what's going to happen to you eventually. You're going to get eaten. You're going to drown because we need each other. Turn to your neighbor and say, I need you in my life. Okay? We need each other. The Bible says, don't forsake gathering together. I'm convinced. I believe there's a formula to keep us out of the rip current, dealing with the church. It's called A plus B plus C equals D, all right? I know this isn't algebra, but this is important for you guys to know because we're talking about God rescuing us from the rip current and pulling us to the destiny that he has for our life. It's A plus B plus C equals D. And so what does the formula have to do with keeping me out of the rip current? It's really simple. I'll give you what each of these stands for. You attend weekly service, you belong to a small group, you commit to serving in a ministry, and if you're doing these things, you will be devoted fully to Christ. It will happen. It will happen. Every week, you need a spiritual pick-me-up. Come on, let's be honest. Some of you already are feeling more encouraged than you did when you came in here. The world gets you beat up. You have a horrible boss, right? You're going through it. You're just going through all kinds of issues with your family. You come in here and you're like, okay, I'm feeling better now. That worship song, oh, that really helped me. Oh, the prayer that my brother did with me before, oh man, I needed this. And you're leaving going, wow, I can make it. I can really make this. We need that every week, church. This world is brutal on all of us. And if you're not coming here getting that, you're probably living a very discouraged life. You show up every week, you're going to get encouraged, you're going to get inspired, you're going to get a word from God. Matter of fact, I would go as far as to say the Sundays where you feel most like not showing up is the Sunday you better show up because God's got a word for you and the devil's trying to keep you from it, right? That's what's happening. So, you can't make Sunday. Come Wednesday. Come at least one of them. And it's a bonus to go to both of them, but at least make one of them, either midweek or Sunday, but show up every week. And the B is belong to a small group. I mean, it's cool that you get to come here and get inspired, but real life change, I believe, happens in circles, not in rows. I believe when you circle up with a group of people, whether they're in the same life stage, maybe it's a couple like you or family, maybe it's a bunch of guys, maybe it's a bunch of girls, but when you're going to Starbucks and you're getting together, I mean, you're getting down to the nitty-gritty about really what's happening in your life. We really don't get to do that in rows, do we? So finding a small group that you click with, that you connect with, is vitally important to get you to that destiny. So if you haven't joined a small group at the Cal State campus, there's a table every week. You can go there. Pastor Tom will show you where it's at. Today we have a table outside. Say, hey, I want to get connected to a small group. They'll give you a list of all the small groups going on. There's guy small groups, girl small groups, couple small groups, life stage small groups. Go check it out and they'll tell you all about it. But belong to a small group. And C is commit to serving in a ministry. This is huge because when you start serving, you start working and operating in the same capacity that Jesus did because Jesus served. And he even said, he goes, you want to be a part of my kingdom? You got to learn how to serve other people. And he demonstrated this by washing the disciples' feet. And he washed their feet and he took care of them. And he said, if you want to be a part of my kingdom, you're going to do as I have done. I'm going to be the model for you guys and how to live for my kingdom. If you want to live for God's kingdom, you have to find a ministry to serve at. And that could be going to Africa with Dr. Nalos and his team. That could be going to Adopt-A-Block with Pastor Allen and his team. That could be serving with our kids' ministry with J2. That could be going out and helping Cody Ford with middle school. That could be being an usher, or that could be being a security. I mean, there's all kinds of ways to serve. I've got to tell you my story in a nutshell. Is I came to Christ as a high school student at Hume Lake. By the way, my daughter's like, Dad, we have a couple middle school places left. Hey, get your kid to winter camp or summer camp because that's where your pastor found Christ, all right? I found him up at Hume Lake, and so send your kid to camp. It's an amazing experience. So I got saved, you might say, up at Hume Lake, but it wasn't until I stepped into serving ministry that I really saw my life become fully devoted to Christ. My wife and I began dating. She was doing a first grade class. And I go, hey, what are you doing? She goes, I'm teaching first grade. I go, can I do it? She goes, sure. So I went in there and I started teaching first grade. And I told, Tara, my wife now, I said, I love this. She goes, well, you can do this every week. And I started serving and started doing the kids' church. And pretty soon they asked me to be like an ongoing teacher. And I had a blast. But I saw a life change can happen really quickly. Because I was on the fence before that. I was a yo-yo Christian. I would come to church, go, man, I need to get my life right. But on Friday and Saturday, I was partying. And I was just forgetting that I even had a relationship with God. I'd come on Sunday and I'm like, I need to get my act right. And then go back Friday and go, what God, you know? Give me some more alcohol. Give me some more pot. You know, that was my life for a long time. And then when I started hearing little kids say, teacher Jim, I go, well, can't smoke pot anymore now. You know, I can't. you know, can I be real with you? I mean, that, it helped me. It put me into another level for me spiritually. And I got to be real with you guys. Some of you, that is what's keeping you from getting to there is you are resisting God and he's calling you out to serve. And there's a scripture in Proverbs that says, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. What way is God calling you out to serve so that you can help refresh other people? And by doing so, God is going to turn around and use that to refresh you. A plus B plus C equals D. Now here's the reality check, okay? I know none of us are there yet. You might have the idea of where there is, and you might be on the highway, and you might like, you can feel, right? You can feel the rip current trying to pull you away, but you're staying true to it. You're holding on to Christ, and you're individually, you're doing your devotions, you're doing the ABCs, you're like, Pastor, I'm there, but why do I feel like there's still room for improvement in my life? Why do I feel like I'm not there yet? And my encouragement to you is that just keep moving forward. That's all God wants us to do. And as we keep moving forward, I'm telling you, God is going to be changing us and molding us into looking more and more like his son Jesus. That's all he wants us to do, is to keep the forward momentum and keep moving in the direction of the there for our life. Are you following me? I want to end with this quote. This quote really, I think, really pulls everything in, and it really, you know, personifies everything that we talked about this morning. It says, this old preacher said it this way, I ain't what I want to be, and I ain't what I'm going to be, But praise God, I ain't what I used to be. Right? I'm telling you, church, the definition of insanity is continuing to do the same thing in your life and expecting different results. And what the Bible has made clear to us is there is a different way to live life. And if we live life God's way, the life that we're going to experience is going to be so awesome. It's going to be so amazing. But what do you have to do? You have to trust Him with your life, and then you have to be intentional to get there. Be intentional with your thought life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, God, for this whole sermon about getting there. Lord, there's some people that are stuck in some serious ruts in their life, and they're sick of their life. They're sick of where they've been. They're sick of where they feel like they're going. And I pray that you would use this message this morning to inspire them that they don't have to live that way anymore. That you're calling them to a different life altogether. A life where you're leading them. A life where you're empowering them. A life where you're rescuing them from the rip current and pulling them towards you and your destiny. Folks, I know there's some people that are in serious trouble right now. There are some people here that you are that person drowning in that sea. You don't know how you got there. It just kind of happened. And you're barely holding on. I'm telling you, you are not here by accident. You are here by divine appointment. It says, God says, I love you, and I don't want you to have to live one more day of your life like this. I'm here to rescue you, and I'm here to put you on a new path for your life, a path that will be lived out to the fullest, a path full of life. And if you're here this morning, you've never said, God, I want a relationship with you. I want to trust my life to you. Jesus, I want to follow you. It's probably why you're drowning. And he's here this morning using me as a vessel to stick his hand out to your life and say, well, you don't have to do that anymore. I'm here for you. And if you're ready to stick your hand out and receive his rescue for your life, if you're ready to surrender to him and let him lead you and to let him take you to the destiny that he's always intended for your life to have, then we do it real simple here at VBF. We say, we want you to just lift your hand and acknowledge that you need God in your life and that you want to surrender to Jesus, and we're going to pray. I want to turn it over to the campuses right now, to those pastors there, to go ahead and lead those prayers. But for you guys that are tuning in online, for you guys that are here with us at main campus, if God is touching your heart right now and you're sick and tired of feeling like you're drowning all the time, then I have a question for you. Are you ready to get to there? Are you ready for the life that God has for you? And if you are, I want to pray a simple prayer with you, along with you, that you can pray after me, and this is where your journey begins. And if you're here this morning, you're ready to make this decision to start living life God's way by letting Jesus lead your life, by surrendering it to him. And right where you're sitting, would you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm ready to make that decision. I'm tired of the way my life is going. I'm tired of feeling like I'm drowning. Just raise it right where you're sitting. I don't want to embarrass you, but I want to pray for you. Amen. Amen, too. Just lift your hand right where you're at. Amen. Anyone else, just raise your hand. I want to see you. Amen. Both of you guys over here. Praise God. You in the back, too. Great. Yeah, that's awesome. You, too. That's great. Anyone else? Just say, man, please include me. I want this too. Yeah, way in the back there. Yeah, I see it. Our volunteers are giving you some information that's just going to help you with your journey. But if you raise your hand and the rest of the church, just encourage them. Let's pray together. And pray this prayer. This is where the journey with God begins. Pray after me. Say, Jesus, today I surrender my life to you. I realize today I can't get to where I need to go on my own. I need you. I realize that you created me. You have a destiny for me. And the only way to get there is through you living inside of me, giving me the power to make it there. So I surrender my life to you, Jesus. Fill me with your spirit and let me be the person you destined me to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. All right, you guys. Hey, it's a pleasure being with you, and we'll see you here, there.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our love.